Here we go. Ready? Okay. Pocket Gamer Podcast. Pocket Gamer Podcast. Welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I am your host, James Gilmore. It's episode number 266. I am joined by Peter Willington.
Hello.
And we're live on Twitch. This is mental. I've got no idea what's going on, but I can tell you that I'm very excited about it. If you're a Pocket Gamer regular and you're listening to this via the podcast, you know, you've downloaded it from iTunes or whatever, it might sound a little bit different because we are currently streaming live on Twitch. Hello, if you are watching us on Twitch at the moment. This is the first time we've done anything like this. It's a bit of an experiment because Keith isn't here. Podcast regular Keith has run off to GDC.
Goodica, yeah. He's in San Francisco taking pictures with his Windows phone. Hashtag Windows phone.
Because someone's got to hashtag it, I suppose. So he's off doing that. And so we thought, we'll mess about while he's away, just for a laugh. Because he probably doesn't want his beautiful face cast over the internet. But we don't really care all that much.
I was thinking about getting him one of those V for Vendetta masks so he could look like he was a member of Anonymous or something like that.
And he can speak through a distorted voice and terrify anyone who watches. Yeah. So it's just the two of us, but there's many, many more people joining us, surrounding us digitally, if you like.
There are so many. So basically, if you're listening in the future, then I will explain now. But if you're here in the present, then you already know this. But to the people in the future, first of all, if you're listening in the future, do we have hoverboards yet? I really hope so.
And, the future being 24 hours in advance.
24 hours, yeah, from then. Obviously, if you're here now, then you are one of the lovely people that are in the Twitch TV chat room. I'm looking at the chat room. James is doing all the complex technical stuff that I don't understand. We have so many awesome people in the chat at the moment. We've got some PGN apps by staffers like Caffeine Dreamer and Benno is Buff. So they're sort of staffers in the sort of background, and then we've got some absolutely fantastic sort of like App Spy and PG regulars. You know, we got Haz Kasu, we got Umonkey, we got App Freak, we got, you know, who else we got in here? We got Meridian 99, A2 Seth, all these people. All of you guys get shout outs because honestly, gap rules, come on. You know, all you guys get shout outs because obviously you're here right at the start and you heard the super secret thing that will never be aired ever again.
No, which we're going to cut from the other version. When we actually put this on iTunes, we will cut it down to something a little bit more sensible. Yes. Maybe. I don't know, unless some random stuff happens that's really good. I'm not sure entirely. But we're going to kick off things as we always do. We're going to run through the same setup, which means that this is the update. Ridge Racer Slipstream. It's currently going free on the iPhone and iPad. It is it's a standard kind of drift-based racer. It came out about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it's all right. Like, it looks smart enough. I mean, have you played this one, Peter?
Yeah, so I was giving this a go today because it fell down to a beautiful price. It's very sort of, like, troubling for a phone, which is good. It's like graphically very splendid. I was looking at it going, this looks really, really good.
It is smart.
It is smart. But as you say, like, it's okay. It's good. It feels a little bit like, it's not quite as exciting as you might want from a Ridge Racer game.
No, I don't know if it's because drift-based racers seem a bit trad at the moment, or whether you've been playing things like the surprisingly excellent Asphalt 8, which was a really, really good version of a kind of arcade drift-based game. But it didn't really grab our attention that much. It seemed a bit bland, to be honest. But if you were waiting to try it out, you're looking for a reason to have a go, then it's free, so you don't have to spend any money. That's as good a reason as any, I suppose. Also, Dead Trigger 2, which is the zombie shooter that we all know about, that's just been updated yet again. It's now got an Arena of Death mode.
Doesn't sound good.
Which sounds well dramatic, doesn't it? Apparently, it's hosted by presenter Titan Newton Tourmaline. Right, oh, okay. I see. It stands for TNT, you know, because of explosions and that.
That's
very good. Yeah. And what it does, it pits you against wave after wave of walkers. So you just basically get dumped in an arena and have to face off people in a kind of wave mode. You get to lay traps, though, and get extra boxes that contain boosts and things like that. So there is a power-up element you can also get involved with. The also update also gives a new city and dam reservoir environments, apparently. So you've got a nighttime mode, construction workers, nurse zombies, all that sort of stuff. They all make an appearance. And yeah, it's all free, obviously. It's available on Android at the moment. It should be on iOS now too. Not 100% sure, but it should be out right now. So more stuff to be getting on with there, as usual. Also, Republic. We talked about this a little while ago. It's that CCTV-based game where essentially you're teleporting yourself into cameras and then, like, remote controlling electrical items, so you're opening doors and you're deactivating security fields and things like that.
Oh, you mean Night Trap?
No, Night Trap. It was a Kickstarter-funded game, I think, originally. It's been released in episodic form. We're only up to episode 1 at the moment, but as you can see in the little video below, if you're watching, it's quite slick-looking. It's got some stellar voice cast. It's got, like, Jennifer Hale from Mass Effect, who I'm a big fan of. But she's doing a slightly weird French accent in this one, which isn't necessarily her best work, but, you know, whatever. I played through, I think, the first half an hour of this. It's fun. It's sort of interesting. I was a little bit unsure. Sometimes it feels a bit on the rails, and there's perhaps not as much you kind of freedom as perhaps you would like. I was a little bit unsure, but it's incredibly well presented, and the idea of doing all the hacking and the camera jumping and you control mobile phones and stuff, that's all fun. So it's probably worth a look. Usually it's a tad more expensive. I think it's, I don't know, about like £4 or something, £3, £4.
This is Ryan Payton joint, isn't it? The guy who's doing sort of MGS. Like, does it feel like MGS at all? Is there any aspect of it that feels Metal Gear?
It's very stealthy. You are trying to avoid being seen. I mean, the girl that you're controlling, you're using the security footage to guide her through these different areas. So as much as you can, you're trying to get her to sneak past windows and avoid guards and all that sort of thing. So yeah, there's a stealth aspect, like your Metal Gear, but you're not controlling the character directly. Really, it's you manipulating the video cameras instead. So there's a slight disconnect. I mean, it's all right. I quite liked it. It felt a bit short, but that's because it's episodic. So we are expecting another episode to appear sometime in the near future. Not quite sure when. But if you haven't started it because you thought price was a bit too high, you can get it right now for £1.99 or $2.99. So crack on with that if you like. Next, it's the news. That's the new Sting. It's weird hearing these things live. I can't get used to it. Usually it all gets added in post, but we're hearing the news jingles. It's bizarre. Anyway, so size does matter. We talked about this last... No, that wasn't aimed at you, Pia. Sorry.
Oh, okay, because the camera is on and we can...
No need to prove anything.
All right.
I trust you. Size does matter. We were talking about it last week. It's a game that was a BAFTA award winner. It came away from the awards with, the best... Is it like the best game that is not currently finished yet or something? It's a weird category, isn't it?
Yeah. It's the kind of award that I used to get in like school athletics, like
the well done for showing up award.
Yeah, that sort of thing. But no, it is a bit more than that, isn't it? I suppose we should.
Okay,
probably
it was called it, the ones to watch award. That's what it was called. So it's games that aren't quite finished yet, and then you play them and you see like, oh, this is clearly destined for big things. This game's going to be amazing. What it is, it's been inspired by Super Hexagon, and it gets you to move a square through a kind of like neon corridor gauntlet. You can see it scrolling in the video below. If anything, it looks a little bit Flappy Bird in so much as you're trying to avoid the pipes in a similar way that you do in Flappy Bird. The difference here is the gaps that you have to go through change. I can actually do this visually now. I'm using my hands on the podcast. I'm just waving my arms into thin air for no reason. This actually helps. So you can change the width of the pipes as they go through in Flappy Bird. They're the same width and you have to kind of dodge every time.
Yeah.
In this game, you have to change the size of your avatar so that you'll fit in between the blocks. You can see it scrolling along in the video below if you're watching the stream. Apparently, everyone who played it says it's amazing, and you're one of those people, aren't you?
It's fantastic. I played it I think it was Dare to Be Digital in sort of Dundee. It's this big festival of games that they have up in Scotland. It's fantastic. If you're up that way, I think it's like summertime usually. Absolutely brilliant festival to go and check out. But yeah, I played it, and the version I played had this kind of dubsteppy electronic soundtrack, but like very like none of the artists were particularly well known.
Okay.
So yeah, like really like underground kind of a hit, and very much fun to play. Like definitely, you think it's you completely get it immediately. You mm-hmm. understand exactly what you should be doing, but you cannot make your brain move your hands fast enough to actually do it. Yeah, it's one of those sort of classics.
Is that a problem you think was unique to you, perhaps? Or
well, that's it's the sort of thing where you know Super Hexagon kind of like strips it down.
Yeah, it's very very pared
only
down.
Got left and right. Well, this one is like you've got to think not only about your movement and where you are sort of vertically, but you've got mm-hmm. to think about how wide you are as well. It's really good, really good.
Well, we talked about it last week about winning the award. That was very good. Now, however, we've learnt the dates, specifically when it's coming to iOS and Android, and it's going to be on the way this spring. Previously, we hadn't known when it was remotely coming. We don't have a specific day or anything yet, but it is due to come out this spring. So it's picked up a lineup of like artists. You said they weren't necessarily so well known. I think some more have either got on board. Ooh. But so you've got people like Chipzel, who did the soundtrack excellent. To Super excellent. Hexagon, so that all ties together nicely. Eric Shirker, who's responsible for this audio in Spelunky, which is a favorite game of the Pocket Gamer Club, especially Mark is our editor, is supremely obsessed with Spelunky to the point where he has actually completed it, done the full run and killed the full boss, and he's very very proud,
he's too good at games. That's why he's got the job.
Very very proud. But to quote the team directly, the guys are called DOS Studios, and it's Mattis Delarud, his name is, I think. He says, "We've got an internal deadline that we're working towards together with our publisher Channel 4. What we're allowed to say is that we are going to release Size Does Matter this spring." So that's very good news for us. I mean, when you played it, did you play it on a mobile or was it on a Vita or something like that?
It was played on a Vita, but yeah, it was very much a sort of like, come over here and I'll show you this thing. And like a fool, I said, all right then. He showed me this, it running on the Vita. And I think it is still coming to that platform. It's confirmed for that platform now, isn't it?
Okay, but maybe not a date yet. All we know is definitely iOS and Android, it's coming. So definitely one to watch out for. If it's winning BAFTAs already and it hasn't even been released, that's a pretty good sign. But also, everyone who's played it, I think Keith has played it as well and he liked it. And so, yeah, this is definitely one to watch out for. So Size Does Matter, keep it on your radar. However, talking about a game that's going to be coming quite soon, we now have to talk about a series that is about to die on mobile. Guitar Hero. Yes, you could play Guitar Hero on mobile. And it's been around since about 2009. I did a little bit of research on this because I went back. I've been grabbing some videos for the feed, and it was used to like demo the iPhone at one of the early iOS conferences when they like released an iPhone or an iOS 7 or something like that. You had Steve Jobs out there going, "Here's the Guitar Hero. Look, you can do Guitar Hero." I think the video is actually from one of these conferences, actually. But either way, it's been around on iOS for ages, and Activision has now confirmed that it's going to be deleting Guitar Hero from both the iOS and Android app stores on March 31st, so end of this month. That means, I think, you're going to lose everything. All the DLC content, so the songs for Guitar Hero, DJ Hero, Band Hero, all that, they will no longer be available at the end of this month. So if you purchase any songs before that date, you'll still be able to play them. That's the important thing to take away. Even though they're removing the game and they're removing access to the new songs, you're not going to suddenly lose all of your songs. You will be able to keep them if you're a fan. And to encourage this, they've actually put it on sale as a kind of farewell thing on iOS. You can get it for 69p or 99 cents until the day it goes down. So it's kind of like a bye-bye parting gift. However, if you do delete the game accidentally from your phone or something, you're not going to be able to get it back. So,
but we do have, there is a guide, isn't there, on Pocket Gamer as to how you can actually back up your games.
Exactly.
So
we would strongly recommend you do that if you're a particular fan of the game. I mean, I didn't really play it much on iOS, I'll be honest. But for me, the Guitar Hero thing was more about using the instruments.
Now, one of the best things about us doing a live podcast is that obviously I'm looking at the chat, people are chatting away, but we've got questions coming in. And one of the best questions that we've had thus far is Tadias, who says, do you remember the DS version of Guitar Hero with the little controller?
The hand controller thing.
That was so awesome. I loved that game so much. I used to play it on train journeys when I had to do a little bit of a commute.
Yeah.
And like this one time, I didn't bother putting my headphones. I put my headphones into my ears, but I didn't plug the actual jack in.
Oh.
And I was just like, and like,
were you in the quiet zone?
I was in the quiet zone, and I was very, I was very quickly asked to move along.
Vacate the premises.
Sunny. What a game! What a game! But it's from a like. Somebody who wants to conserve these games and somebody who is interested in like retro gaming, let's say, and collecting. It's a bit sad that all of these games, you won't be able to... When somebody says in 5-10 years' time, oh, what was the mobile version of Guitar Hero like? They won't be able to really point to it and sort of go, oh, well, it was exactly like this. The only thing we'll be able to do is have footage of it, like stuff that we've got on YouTube and people who still have, who still have it.
Still, I would still argue that the mobile version of Guitar Hero was not exactly its defining, form. Really, the Guitar Hero thing was about using the guitars or later on the keyboards and the drums and all that sort of stuff. That was the point of it. The mobile versions, while they were fine, they functioned as mini games and rhythm games. That wasn't really what it was all about. So, I mean, if you're a real fan of the genre, obviously this is a shame, but I don't think anyone's going to shed too many tears. But if you wanted to grab it, you've got about 11 days. That's it. So if you've never tried, grab it cheap, grab it quick. Now you can move on. Let's talk about the final bit of news. We've got to go back here again. I'm going to just put the video up so that everyone knows what we're talking about. And I'm so sorry to have to do this, but there it is. So Flappy Bird then.
Yeah.
Here we go again. Oh, right. Now, we were talking about this earlier because it's... You don't want to be too cynical about it because you can get very cynical about things, especially this game, because when anything goes super popular and becomes a massive phenomena, it gets saturated and we're all bored of hearing about it now, to be honest. And frankly, we're a bit bored of writing about it. The creator, Dong Nguyen... has said that Flappy Bird will be coming back to the App Store. It was available, it was out for a year or something and no one cared. Then suddenly it blew up for reasons unknown. We don't know if it was legitimate or whether there was something a bit iffy going on there. There was reported sort of accusations of farming from bots and things to artificially raise the ranking of the game. Some people said it was because PewDiePie played a video and that's where everyone picked it up from, and that's why it got popular. Whatever the situation, it went mental. Everybody knows about it. And then after a very short space of time, he pulled it.
Now, Benno is buff, who's, as I say, he's one of our staffers. He's actually, properly good at this game. He's hit... 40, 50, 60, something like that.
The last thing I heard was 100 and something.
No.
No. I'm sure he'll chime up in the chat room. And, no, he's I think he's good at this stuff. He's good at these endless runs. He's good at Rayman as well.
Yeah.
Puts us all to shame. But people got massively addicted. Then the developer, he decided to pull it. He said it was because it was too addictive, and people claimed maybe it wasn't because of that. Maybe it's because he's using elements from Mario games and all, There was loads of conjecture. Either way, he says it's coming back. In a series of tweets, he said it will be coming back to the app stores, but it will not be the original game, but a better one. And the launch will be, quote, not soon. So he's not just bringing the same app back. He's going to recreate it and rejigger it and then put it back on the app store. But it's not necessarily coming immediately, which... I think it could use a bit of breathing space. I'll be interested to see if people still care in 6 months' time,
I think, we're kind of sick of it from, a coverage perspective. Because we've kind of... Unless something really juicy comes along for it, there's not really a lot we can say about it anymore.
Mm.
But, clearly it's got a market. Clearly people like it. like they enjoy playing it. So, you know, they like it enough to send death threats to the poor fellow. You
know? Yeah, well, yes. But then again, that says something about the mental state of those who are severely addicted, perhaps. Mm. That doesn't speak to everyone, of course. I'm sure most of the players are lovely and can play a couple of games and not worry. However, before he does release the re-released version of it, he's going to put out a new game. Apparently, either a vertical flying game called Kitty Jetpack or an action chess game called Checkernaut. So he's been hard at work since doing other games. Chances of either of them replicating the success of this are, I would imagine, quite small. But, you know, maybe the publicity will give him better luck on the other games, or improved luck on the games that he has still coming out. I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult. I'm sorry, it's so hard to kind of be like, hey, Flappy Bird, because...
Just the enthusiasm in your voice is like, oh, I can't, not anymore, please.
I know, go away, Bird. But yeah, so you can, I suppose, look forward to that if that's a thing you might consider looking forward to. Anyway, moving on from that one, we'll do a last little bit of news. Do you remember Oddworld, Peter? Do you? On the PS1, the PSX,
as it's known. Old days. Do you remember them?
That's right, when chicken chased it like chicken, and controllers didn't have funny touchpads on them that did nothing. Yeah, amazing. Well, it's been rumoured for a while, and now it's been confirmed. They're remaking the original Oddworld game, Abe's Odyssey, and it's being called Oddworld New and Tasty, and it's coming to the PS Vita. So what you're going to have is pretty much the same game. I think it's going to run the same format, you know, the same side-scrolling platforming, all of that. You can see it in the video below if you're watching the stream. But it's been prettied up for the Vita. And I've looked at the video, and actually it is really pretty. I mean, one of the defining features of the first games were they were quite good-looking.
Yeah, really good looking.
For the
really
time, certainly. Yeah. They had that Psygnosis twinge of them, and it had almost, even though it was a 2D platformer, there was a hint of like that 2.5D thing in it. Like Abe looked quite 3D and fleshed out when he moved around.
Like Donkey Kong Country did the same sort of thing.
Yes, where it had that little element of like, it looks like the protagonist and some of the elements in the foreground are a bit 3D, which is par for the course now. Everyone does that and thinks it's kitsch. But back then, that was really impressive. The game itself was quite tough. It was had something in common with things like Flashback and Another World, I always felt. I think it was like the screen didn't scroll, it was single screen. So you'd move from one to the other. And it was a lot of logic-based levels in which you had to go over here and find a switch and then backtrack and go over there and a door would now be open which you could go through and all of that. So it was quite logic-based and it was quite tough and trial and error in the nature of its gameplay. But if you had a PlayStation, you remembered it quite fondly. It was considered quite a good game.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I mean, I didn't. It was right at that transitional phase when games were still thinking that they had to be arcade games because they had to kill you all of the time, and progress had to be inch by inch by inch, and it had to be won. And it was so hard, that game.
It was tough. It was notoriously tricky. But people flocked to it anyway. I mean, I was drawn to it because of the look. It looked very Psygnosis. Psygnosis, who are now Studio Liverpool, or are now defunct because shut down. But now they're coming back. So whatever. But Psygnosis, who are one of my favourite companies. I can't remember if they published this one or not, but it looked a lot like it. It was lots of dark greys and greens and purples. And you were immediately drawn and attracted by the visuals. And then, yes, when you started playing, it was tough as hell. But people quite liked it. So apparently it's a polished and preened version that's coming to the Vita. You'll be able to play as Abe, as usual, and lead a revolt against all the creatures. He's working in a factory, as I remember, stacking stuff, and he fights back against them all.
Yeah, it's like a fast food factory, isn't it? There's that brilliant speech. I always just remember the opening bit where he's talking about, then I found out that, like, the gluckens were tasty, and then
he has a really weird voice as well. Oh, this is memory lane now. Anyway, the information's been posted on an EU blog. You can obviously read it on Pocket Gamer because we've got the details up. A release date will be coming in due course, apparently. That's the quote that we've been given. So you can see the trailer in its full effect. It's below down there at the moment, but you can go back to the site and watch it in its full glory if you want to. Looks really pretty. I don't know if anyone, there's going to be a huge appetite for it. I imagine it would be a DLC thing. I can only imagine it's they're not going to do a physical release for it. I'd be surprised anyway.
Yeah, I really doubt it.
But it's a good looking game, and it's something from the past, so you'll be able to get that sometime in the future. Look out for it. Anyway, let's do some new releases. Bop your head, Peter. Dance. Out and about this week. First on the list, Star Horizon. It is a very impressive looking deep space shooter that's come out for iPhone and iPad. So this is out right now. We haven't got it on the joint account, which is annoying. I've been wanting to play this and it hasn't appeared yet for review. But it looks very deep space exploration. I'm thinking Galaxy on Fire, that sort of thing. You're taking control of a spacecraft and flying around and blowing the crap out of everything. It is pretty. You can see in the video below. Really, really pretty. So you're zooming around the galaxy, blasting things with lasers, upgrading your spaceship as it goes so that you don't blow up and die immediately, which is always good. They are making a big song and dance about the fact that it's a premium release. There are no in-app purchases, which people have to go on about now to remind you, because it shouldn't be a big deal, but it kind of is.
It shouldn't, should it? Like, it's, and it's not like, it's not automatically a, so it's amazing!
No, no, but it will draw a certain kind of crowd. Some people will avoid IAP games altogether. Yeah. And there are some games which give you a good reason to avoid them because of it. But this one is not. It looks like a very much a premium release. You got asteroids, spaceships, glowing orbs of red laser fire, yada, yada, yada. Apparently, the controls are intuitive and slick. But that's what the developers say. So
that's, you can't trust them, can you, eh?
No, we don't know. That's clearly what they're going to say. But it does also support the controllers. They're referred to as MFI controllers, which really annoys me. Made for iOS, I think is what it stands for. But we just, you know, the Bluetooth, the Wi-Fi controls you can now get for iOS. There have been a few of them released ever since iOS 7. Most of them are crap, but there is one that is good. We've given it a good rating. It's the SteelSeries Stratus.
Oh, such good.
It ain't,
such good control.
You've got one, haven't you? It ain't that cheap.
No.
If you buy it, I think it's about like 70, 80 quid, which is a lot of money to spend on a controller for your iPhone. But it is high quality, and it's the only one that's come close to being like a really, a genuinely decent controller.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got one, and I can show the camera.
Sorry if you're listening on the podcast. This will mean nothing to you, but there it is. Peter's actually got one in the screen there.
It's so beautiful.
And it's dead nifty and works really well. So if you want to, you can use that to control Star Horizon. It's out right now. It costs £2.49 or $3.99. And if you're into your Star Shooters, then I suggest you grab it. Mm. Next up is Scallywags. We actually played this yesterday in the stream. It's a pirate-themed gallery shooter in which you take control of a cannon perched on along the side of a ship. And things pop up out of the water, as you can see in the video below. Little creatures and little space, not space pirates, little seaworthy pirates. And then you tap the screen, tap the circles, and blast them all away. We had a bash on it yesterday. I think the developer actually joined us. And then he proceeded to start giving out codes, didn't he?
No, I was like, high five to you, man.
That's badass. If you ever wanted an incentive to stick around and watch these streams on Twitch, yeah, the developers come in and you started gifting codes to people. It was great. Yeah, I played it. It's very smartly presented. It's cartoony. It's clearly a bit of fun. It's not as responsive as I expected it to be. I don't know if it's a deliberate choice, but when I was tapping the screen to fire the cannons, there's a little bit of a delay before they actually shoot. Now, there's a good chance that's because it's a cannon, like an old-fashioned cannon on a pirate ship, and it's not going to immediately spring to life. Presumably, it has to burn down a little bit and then explode. I don't know if that's what they were going for. You can also do chain attacks, so you swipe across the screen, and it'll go doof, 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 and take out a whole bunch in quick succession. It's simple sort of stuff, clearly like arcadey fun. I think this one is free to play. You'll have to...
It looks it. You were actually, sort of a bit sort of like, about
I wasn't
like,
sure. I'm not sure. If this was the one that was being gifted codes for, then surely it does cost money.
Oh, and it was early access, basically.
Oh, okay, maybe that's what it was. Yeah, so people giving a heads up, rather. But it's available right now. You can download it, I think, free of charge. Don't necessarily quote me on that. But that's what I'm saying, and I'm sticking to it.
Because this is live, this is amazing and live, I am running away from my window for 4 seconds. Amazing. Isn't this incredible? We can do this as like a little interval. Hold on a second.
Are you ready? What you got to do?
I actually am. Hold on.
He's got a vamp. I'm going to vamp. I'm on my own. I'm alone. This is a nightmare. Crisis. Anyway, what I'll do is while he's away, apart from talking about how he's got a weird face, a bit of a weird face, isn't it? I'll move on to the next one, which is Fairway Solitaire Blast. Again, if you were watching the stream yesterday, you saw me having a little bash at this. It's a card-based game, the classic solitaire that you're all used to now. It does a bunch of variations on it, and it's the sequel to the game that came before, Fairway Solitaire, which became this kind of surprise hit amongst card game lovers. It mixes up the solitaire theme with a golfing aspect. There's not a great deal of golf in this version. This is the sequel. Apart from the fact that whenever you tap the cards, it does that kind of whoosh, as if you've hit a golf ball.
That is satisfying, though, isn't it? I love that sound. I like falling asleep to it.
More satisfying are all the power-ups that are in it. So when you're playing the game, as well as just moving between the numbers. So you know how to play solitaire. Everyone with a copy of Windows 95 can play solitaire. But you can do extra things like cards will appear that have gophers on them. And if you tap the card, then it'll explode and it'll rack away a load of cards off the screen. And so there are all these random power-ups. As you can see from the video, it's all very slickly animated, actually. It's really, really well presented. Might have contributed to the success, the previous games. Success. I liked playing it for the kind of 35 minutes I played it or so. It's free to play, this one, which makes it different from the other version, which was premium. People, I know, have heard some kickback from fans who've gone, free to play.
I don't like getting things for free.
I don't think that's quite the argument.
I'm joking.
Straw man. But yeah, there has been a little bit of people going, and rolling their eyes. But I guess, you know, there's no harm in trying it out. I don't know if there's an energy system. I think I saw lives when I was playing it. I didn't run out of any during my time with the game, but there was a life system, so maybe that's what's holding it back or whatever. Anyway, it's available right now everywhere, I think. I'm going to double check this, actually, because I have a feeling that it's only available at the moment in New Zealand. Yeah, New Zealand, Canada, and Australia. This is a soft launch. If you've ever listened to the podcast before, you know what soft launch is. But basically, developers usually trial apps in certain areas, smaller areas, so that they can test a few things out. For example, Angry Birds Epic, which I'll be talking about in more detail a bit later, is in soft launch at the moment. So people in those territories will test the game out. You can see, look for bugs and try out different types of in-app purchases and all that nonsense. And then when it's been kind of fine-tuned, they release it globally. So at the moment, this game is on soft launch at the moment. So if you happen to be in New Zealand, Canada, or Australia, you can download this right now. The rest of us are going to have to wait until April the 3rd. Then it will go global. So it's like, you know, about 2 weeks or something. That's usually the window. So not too bad, but you'll have to hold on for it. Okay, moving on. Tri-Blaster, which is a decidedly old-school-looking vector shooter. This is out for both iOS and Android. What you have to do is roll around this multi-lane spacescape thing. As you can see on the video below, you're a little triangle rolling around and blasting as many of them vectory bad guys as you possibly can.
Yes, this looks familiar.
And what does it remind you of?
It's Tempest, isn't it?
Well, yes, that was actually mentioned in the article, actually. Yeah. It looks quite good, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it looks amazing. It looks really good. I really like that sort of that wireframe model look, that sort of vector look.
It always reminds me of things like Rez on the PS2, which was awesome.
Oh, Rez.
You need a banging soundtrack for these things. I'm not sure what the soundtrack is on this because I can't hear it at the moment. But I did have a little look at the video. So you're blasting away your little Vectory bad guys. You can grab green pyramids that fallen foes drop, and that lets you power up your laser beam thing. That lets you spray out kind of like different types of lasers and different types of guns, basically. You get a different set of lanes for you to move between in every level. You can see it in the video. They're switching between kind of curved ones and more angular areas. So the environment's changed. And also you get a bit of shift in gravity as well. So sometimes you'll be on the ceiling or whatever, sliding around all over the shop. I like the look of it. This is, I don't know, maybe I'm just too in love with Super Hexagon, but Vectors get me excited. Something about being, in your late 20s or early 30s about that, possibly. Either way, you can grab TriBlaster. It's available in the App Store for 69p or 99 cents, and it's available for Google Play. If you are an Android type, for 74p. So you can grab those right now. However, it's now time for us to move on and enter Chamber Wherein Lies Throne of Games. Come sit upon my throne of games. God, it's so weird playing these things live. I can't get used to it. I still remember recording all of these stupid little stings that we did. I never mentioned this, actually, but this is the time to mention it, I suppose. I did the music for all the podcast stuff, but in order to keep it kind of thematic, I did it all on the iPad using GarageBand.
Really?
Well, because it's an iOS podcast, generally speaking. It's mobile in general, but it started off as an iOS cast. I thought, yeah, let's keep it all like thematic and do it all on the iPad. But it did mean that at one point at about 2 a.m, my girlfriend walked in on me looking bleary-eyed with me going, come sit upon my... And, yeah. It was a bit, what am I doing for a living again? This is weird.
We have got questions from Major One being, where is the throne? Well,
I'm sort of...
It's literally just out of sight.
Just out of sight. Oh,
it's just over there. So let's keep pretense up.
This is the only problem with a video podcast, that our shenanigans have been laid bare and our cunning ruse. Right, let me get rid of TriBlaster because you're going to talk about something else. Oh, actually, this is a different game I forgot to mention. Ah, we'll scratch past it. Never mind. We've got another game to talk about, specifically one that you've been playing, haven't you? What have you been playing this week?
I have indeed. I've been playing Lionheart Tactics. Isn't that exciting? That sounds good to you?
That's what sounds good, but is it any good?
I will tell you, just as I do some shilling, which came in right at the last moment.
Oh, so nightmare.
Now, even live.
Just to warn you, you've gone a bit pixelated and mental on the stream.
Do I look and or sound like Soundwave from Transformers?
Yes, but without the awesome kind of
voice, just a little bit pixelated on the actual screen.
Anyway, sell things while you're
okay,
looking.
I'll sell things while that's happening.
This is the best time to sell those things. Pocket Gamer Awards are now over. And thank you guys so much for voting. Basically, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to everybody who took part. It was a record turnout this year. Again, keeps on going up and up and up, which is really, really fantastic. But the higher-ups that pay our wages would love for you to go to pocketgamer.co.uk/PG Awards 2014 to go and see the winners. Who won iOS Game of the Year? Which company brute forced their popular racing game into many of the winning categories? Which Nintendo game was the best one of last year? Who knows? Well, you can know. pocketgamer.co.uk/slick man 2014, doing it live.
Lionheart Tactics.
So I've been playing this for review. The final part of it will go up on pocketgamer.co.uk very, very soon. But spoilers, it's really good. It's a Japanese strategy role-playing game, which, if you want sort of shorthand on that, it's Final Fantasy Tactics or Disgaea or Lapusel Saga or something along those lines. Front Mission. This one is a sort of fantasy-based one. It starts off a little bit... it's just difficult to get excited about it at first because it feels a little bit like you've seen it before. It's fantasy, it's heroes fighting one another and adventures, and it's isometric 3D, 2D stuff. And you kind of think, oh. But then you play it for a couple of days and you realise that it has some of the most tactical like depth that you've played, especially for a free-to-play game.
Oh, right, really?
Yeah, and like, last year I made this prediction right at the end of the year where I said basically free-to-play games were going to change this year. Like, this is it. You know, we can't keep having the same Farmville city builders. Like, it's not possible anymore. I can't keep doing Clash of Clans clones. I think this is, you're going to see the start of it. I think Real Racing was the start, was part of that start, and this is definitely the evolution of this.
Okay.
Lionheart Tactics, it is that turn-based. You've got little individual units and you move them and you go and conquer other little lands. You get rewarded coins and you get rewarded crowns, and this allows you to build up your party further with more skills, more stats and more equipment. And it means that, you know, you can hit home harder, you can take on better enemies, bigger enemies, that sort of thing, keep progressing through this map. The free-to-play mechanic is fantastic, actually, because basically the only thing that stops you is if your party get wiped out, then you have to wait for them to be resurrected and then heal themselves.
Sure,
but apart
sure.
from that, that's about it. You can pay more money to get, like, you know, you can pay, like, $7 or whatever it is, like, I think it's, like, £5-6 to get like this expansion pack, which has like a top tier character and some crowns and some bits and pieces like that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's just a fantastic example of it. It's a fantastic free game.
It looks awesome. Like,
yeah.
Visually speaking, it has that very Borderlands quasi cel shaded look.
And you know how, like, there are a lot of trailers where you look at them and go, ah, yeah, whatever, and they're sort of like...
it's not in-game footage, and it's...
I believe there's a sort of term for it, bull shots. And, like, you know.
Yes,
and,
something like that.
Something like that. And this is not that. Like, like you zoom into the characters, they've got all of these little personalities and, you know, examples of kind of... like, their animation routines just look absolutely fantastic, and it gives such amount of character. Really fantastic. I really do recommend it. Lionheart Tactics. Go and grab that one.
Oh, badass. All right. And, well, I'm going to talk about something that we mentioned yesterday. We did a bit of a playthrough, but... obviously Pocket Gamer podcast listeners won't have heard about it, so I'm going to recap. Specifically, oh look, it's Angry Birds Epic. We talked about it on the podcast a few weeks ago when it was announced, and then it finally when the release date was given, and now it's out in soft launch again, and I've played it a bunch, and it's all right. That's it. That's all I'm...
really? That's it? Okay,
No. All right, I'll talk about things, I suppose. Yeah, so if you watched the stream yesterday, you will have seen me playing it. It is a bit weird, first of all, to be playing this kind of game on... playing this kind of game with Angry Birds, frankly, because you've basically got what is a turn-based RPG in the very kind of classic RPG style. Two lineups on the screen, as you're about to see below. You've got birds on one side and piggies on the other side, and then you put your finger on the bird, you drag it over, and he jumps forward and he attacks the piggies, and, you know, they take it in turns like you do in a JRPG, like your Final Fantasy or something like that. It's very simple. It's a very simplified version of it, but it is still that kind of game, and that's weird because Angry Birds, it's presented really well. You can see it in motion. We saw the pre like images that they released as promo stuff and thought like, yeah it looks good in the pictures, but what will it look like in motion? Looks really good in motion. You can see it below. It's very smart. I don't know, I'm not entirely sold on it. I don't know if it's just a personal preference thing where I feel like it doesn't really belong in this genre. And it's not because necessarily it's been done badly. I think the thing is, there's a slight conflict here. Because you've got what is a very, very casual game. A casual franchise, in fact. The Angry Birds franchise is based around pull, flick, release, boom. Oops, everyone can play it. Like, you know, your mum can play it and your dog can play it and everyone. It's accessible to literally everyone across the board. And the Angry Birds Go, the kart racer game, that's pretty accessible too. I mean, it's a little bit more hardcore because it's a racer, but still. This is a step beyond. It's still a very, very simple JRPG format. There's no like sort of skill trees and complicated menus that you're navigating. You're just dragging and tapping, really. But still, this appeals to a certain kind of audience, an audience who likes RPGs. And I'm not 100% convinced that people who like RPGs want to play an Angry Birds free-to-play one. That's... I may be proved wrong and everybody loves it, but I don't know if this is the right thing for them to be doing. I mean, we've had discussions about this with Keith in the past, about the way that they manage their brand, Rovio. Previously, they've been very, very smart, and they've limited their games to sticking with just the Angry Birds Fling-style games. Then they did the Star Wars spin-offs, which is just, you know, a license to print money, because it's Star Wars. Then they started going in other directions. So you had Angry Birds Go, you've got Angry Birds Epic now, and upcoming, we've got this Angry Birds Stella that we have even more issues with. Exactly. Because of the whole seems to be being marketed females in a slightly cynical way, but I can't really say that this plays badly, because it certainly doesn't, and it's very, very, very smart, because Rovio are good at this. They can do this. They've been doing this for ages, and so in that sense it's not bad, but I find it difficult to get excited about it, put it that way.
Okay.
I mean, you've seen me play this, and you've seen the thing in motion. What do you reckon?
And I look at it, and I kind of think to myself, like, this looks like JRPG 101. And in some ways, the JRPG has not been as prevalent as it was. Let's face it, when Final Fantasy VII basically just kicked everything's ass for an entire year. You know, like, they haven't been prevalent for a while. And if any games company is going to ensure that it's a genre that comes back in some way, I think Rovio is a top contender for doing it. Not necessarily in terms of, like, I'm sure it's a quality game and it seems fine. You know, it'll be a sort of good game, if you know what I mean. I doubt it will be incredible. But, you know, I do think it will be of a certain quality. And, you know, they have the ability to make it a thing that will be in the public eye. You know, there will be... You know, your mums and dads and your you know, grands and granddads on the bus playing with their phones, and they'll be playing, you know, a JRPG, which has some pretty hardcore mechanics, and they'll be playing it and won't be knowing that, you know, that they're playing it. They're playing it because it's an Angry Birds game, it's the latest one, you know. So I think that's kind of fun.
It could be a way, I suppose, to introduce people who haven't been familiar with the genre before. In that sense, it could be, yeah, like baby's first RPG.
Yeah,
I suppose that could hook in a new genre, but I don't know. I'm not sure I see it.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the chat, we've had lots of people sort of saying, that it's good. We've had some people sort of saying that they don't like it. It's quite a divisive title, and I get the feeling that it is going to be a divisive title. You know, as with everything that isn't. In fact, as with all of the Angry Birds games that have been. Like, the entire series has been divisive. There's people, you know. So I think I'm really interested to see what it will look like when it launches. But
well, the freemium mechanic is one of the things people flagged up a little warning sign about. It is free to play. You can use coins to buy extra power-ups, potions and things to keep you alive. I have encountered this. The potions get quite expensive, and obviously you can resort to buying them with real money if you can't earn enough cash to do it. I played for a good half an hour before I hit any problems, and I don't think these things recharge, but when you go out of combat, you go back in and your birds have charged back up health-wise, so you can take another run at it. But if you're partway through a long fight, so some of the fights go on for several stages, and when you get to stage 3 or stage 4 and your health is running low and you need to use a potion and there isn't one, there's that, I could just buy it and then unpay to win. And whenever that rears its head, I'm always like, this isn't quite, you know, so good. But I understand why they're doing it, because obviously that's how all the money is made now. I've just put in a review for Frontline Commando 2. Alex Beach, who's one of the newcomer on AppSpy, he's reviewed Frontline Commando, and he's experienced the same thing there. It's by Glue Games, and they are the kind of a very, very prevalent free-to-play shooter purveyor. Yes, they are, yeah. That's what they do, really, these free-to-play shooters. And it's like, as a game, it's quite solid. Like, it looks incredibly smart. The foundations are there. It works like a sort of gallery shooter where you're tapping on the screen and switching between cover. Obviously, they did recently the RoboCop tie-in game, which was essentially a reskin of Frontline Commando in the first place. Yeah. So they're all very much of a muchness, but they're executed very well, and they're perfectly fine to play. Problem is, it's just when you start getting to later levels, it starts racking up the difficulty quite a lot, and in order to be able to afford the upgrades you need to start dropping real money, really, to stay competitive, or you have to grind for days. And people, and you know, you don't have to pay, which is always a thing. They say, no, no, you can complete it for free completely if you happen to have 2 months to spare to play it continuously. Otherwise, you need to start paying money, and that at some point, it always feels like the game is holding you to ransom. Or at least holding your progress to ransom, which is fine if it's an unlock. I've always said this. If you want to say, I'll give you 69p, I'll give you £2.99, I'll give you £4.99. If I can then... Yeah, I know, it's a bit mad. If I can then have the game, just give me the game, and I'll sit down and I'll play it, and I can enjoy it at my own pace, and I know that nothing's being kept from me in a cynical way. If I can't beat it, it's because the game's too hard and I need to practice. That's the reason. It's not because they want me to pay more money. And that's always the kind of constant juggle, the constant kind of battle that's going on in your head, psychologically speaking, when playing these games. I think Harry reviewed it for Pocket Gamer, and he said something very similar, where it's like, you're never sure when you're playing whether it's the game being difficult and you're being rubbish, or whether it's the developer trying to get his hand into your wallet. And that's not a particularly fun experience when you're playing a game. That just, it puts you off playing the whole thing. I haven't encountered it as badly with Angry Birds Epic yet, so I'll have to play it more and see how it turns out. And obviously, it's only in soft launch at the moment, which means that usually things get tweaked during this period. So they might alter the way the free-to-play mechanics work, they might change some of the combat mechanics, you might be looking at a quite different game when it finally goes live everywhere else. But if you want to see what it looks like right now, and you can see the video below, you can download it if you are, again, I think it's New Zealand and Canada, possibly Australia as well, maybe.
Or go and watch the AppSpy catch-up video.
Yeah, we did a full playthrough yesterday of all the new releases, so you can see us going into them in kind of greater depth with me actually playing, rather than just talking over a video. And you can also see the walkthroughs both on Pocket Gamer. There are some walkthrough videos that Mark did, and I also did some on AppSpy as well. So you're kind of covered in terms of video content. But if you want to go grab it now. Let us know what you think, because we'll be very interested to see how this one pans out.
Yeah, absolutely. James, this has been emotional, hasn't it?
This has been real. It's been real, man.
This has been an epic moment. A suitably epic moment. And it will go down in the annals of history. There'll be a little sign on in the throne wherein lies the whatever it is. There'll be a little plaque that says on the 20th of March they did a live podcast.
They did a live one, and a couple of people watched it.
So guys, oh my gosh, it's been so good. It's been so good. I feel like we should get some feedback at some point. Obviously, we've got the chat. We've got you you guys chatting away here. But if you do ever fancy dropping us an email, podcast@pocketgamer.co.uk, is this something that you want to see more of? Should we do some more of these? I don't know.
Should we
force Keith to do it so that you get to see him? We'll put him in that little V for Vendetta mask that I mentioned earlier.
And it'll freak him right out, because
he'll be like, why am I doing this?
Totes camera shy.
I don't listen to that one.
But it might be a laugh. So, if you've been watching on Twitch, then thanks ever so much. It was the first episode, a bit of an experiment, and let us know if you liked it or hated it. If you're listening on the podcast, as per usual, thank you for putting up with the occasional reference to things about video stuff going on. Can't be helped, but go and watch the stream. The stream will be up on AppSpy's YouTube channel. It'll also be on the Twitch channel as well. It might be on Pocket Gamer too, so you can see the podcast as well as hearing it. But either way, listening or watching, thanks ever so much for joining us. I have been James. That over there was Peter.
Cheers, he is.
And thanks for watching the first Pocket Gamer podcast live. Bye.
Bye.
Dance.
Oh, dearie me.